titled Echo Chamber is somewhat different in the sense that there is no actual performer down in San Diego, which is why we're not showing you anything from that site. I guess you could say that whereas the other pieces are about community, this piece is more about solitude. Those of you who have used iChat or Skype are no doubt familiar with the fact that you're not really in the same time world as the people with whom you're speaking. There's a certain delay, or as programmers call it, latency, which is almost inevitable these days when sending audio through the network in digital form. However, the latency can be sufficiently small that it's not bothersome, as it is in most conversations. We don't generally mind if there's even, let's say, a quarter or a half second of delay. But in a musical situation, of course, a quarter or a half second can be enormous. So for this concert, we actually have managed to get that latency between sites, the round trip of the sound being sent to them and then their sound coming to us, down to an appreciably small amount so that the players can actually play simultaneously. But it still does exist there. And so this piece, in effect, takes note of the fact that that delay does exist, and it sends the signal from my speaking voice in digital form to San Diego, and then immediately sends it back. That round trip delay time, the time that it takes for us to send it down to them, get it into their computer, send it back to us, get it out of our computer, and into your ears, is a non-zero amount of time. And therefore, evoked in my mind the concept of using that for the filtering and echo effects that I could potentially produce. But in addition to the sort of technical aspects of it, there are, of course, let's say, cultural aspects that we hope will at least be evoked by the piece, if not actually addressed by the piece. Particularly having to do with the subject of teleabsence that John Crawford referred to earlier. Specifically, I would say the question of what happens to the sense of community when some of the members are distant. Physical distance is the obvious kind, but mental and emotional distance are every bit as significant. Clearly, one can be distant while being present. Present while distant. Especially now, in the age of ubiquitous telecommunication, one can be present while absent. But when we can't see each other, can't read each other's facial expressions and body language, or when that aspect of the communication is mediated by the tunnel vision produced by lenses, screens, cameras, monitors, then the potential for miscommunication increases. Miscommunication need not only be a negative. The noise, in the information theory sense of the word, the difference between the destination and source signal, alters the sense, adds new material, ambiguity, and meaning. Likewise, the inherent and inevitable distortions of audio systems, microphones, amplifiers, headphones, loudspeakers, digitization methods, and data compression encoding schemes, all add meaning to the transmitted sound. So we cast our image, our voice, ourselves, into this echo chamber of a system, knowing only all the associated ways. We can choose to overlook this distortion, and we can call it consciousness, or we can suspend our awareness of the distortions, furrowing our brow and sussing out what we think must have been the source signal. Or we can focus on the destination signal, our perceived reality, our only reliable evidence, insofar as we trust our own senses, and revel in the distortions, and make them even in a low-tech, localized music performance, distance sound travels at an appreciably finite speed, so distance means delay.
Reflected waves interfere with direct rays and with each other, constructively at some frequencies, and destructively at others. Delayed sound mixed with original sound equals filtered sound. And that's why every room is a unique filter. This phenomenon is elegantly and artistically presented in Albert's magazines and sitting in the room. When we send this music to long distances and it's reflected back to our ears,
we hear a filtered,
altered version of ourselves. The delay can even be so long as to be a discrete echo. An imitation an alter ego. As my alter ego recirculates into emerging, a kaleidoscope version of me. And you no longer hear the me I thought was present, but rather the filtered, reflected me. It is both distant and present. I am sitting in a room distant from the one you are in now. I'm transmitting the sound of my speaker's voice. I'm going to send it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the network and the software reinforce themselves. When you're talking on your cell phone, and you fly to a satellite, are you near or far, present or absent? When you take a call, glance at an SMS, choose a tweet, dash off an IM, check your email, are you still here? Or is that just your low-tech flesh and shell left behind as a bruise? I'm not the first person to observe that much of the technology devised for our communication may actually be used to isolate us, even alienate us from others. Awareness of the technology we're using makes it hard to maintain a disbelief in the distance that separates us.
What happens,
beings who are part of the global Turing test of avatar, hardware, body, module occupants.
All right, sitting in the room.
Especially, 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 especially